Hey, what's going on, everybody? You're listening to Seggy Station. This man has a nickname, always a lot to say with no shame. Monday, January 25th, 2021. Hope all is well out there, everybody. Hope everyone's staying safe. Nick Seglin here. You're listening to Seggy Station Podcast. I got some company coming through today as well. Rich Hot Takes Letty, regular to the podcast. Pumped to have him on to talk about a wild weekend of sports. And my dude, Iso Boosh, who, by the way, is not Rich's roommate, but did go to the same school as Rich, who I do know from a couple of work environments, so I got that right, is looking to take some lunch break time to come on and talk some world of sports with us today as well. So looking forward to that. Obviously a wild weekend in sports. Wild Sunday of conference championship football yesterday. And Callie's coming through to hop up on the bed. Looking forward to get all of it in today. A lot to cover. Appreciate all love and support. As always, you can follow along on my Instagram page or Twitter page at @Seggy_station. Also, got a live version of the podcast up on my Twitch stream. @Seggy_G. And do have the podcast out on Spotify, Anchor, Google Podcasts, Breaker, Pocket Cast, Radio Public. Hopefully you get your podcast there. Any love, support, follows, likes, views, that's all it's about nowadays, are appreciated. As always, if you want to join the conversation, please do. If you want to come on the podcast, please do. Reach out. Any and all, welcome to join me in the conversation of the world of sports. Really excited where the podcast is out. Over 100 Instagram posts on my Instagram page. Over 20 episodes on Spotify. Over 125 episodes on my original Podbean site. Lots of content of me and the boys. Really excited to get into it today after obviously a crazy weekend of sports. Right now it's time for Straight Talk. Brought to you by Seggy Straight Talk Microphone. It's always direct. Time to reflect. Got a new setup and fire and pumped about that. Hopefully get Chu back in here later this week as there's been a bunch going on in the MLB. A lot of moves, a lot to get into and mix it up with in that regard with Chu. Hopefully get back into it with Duke at some point. Maybe he'll give me a little bit of what he thinks of what's going on with a couple of hires by the Eagles that I do think have been slightly questionable. But those guys, hopefully later this week. Today, it's Rich and Boosh. Excited to have them coming through. Rich should be here momentarily. Obviously, a lot to get to in the world of sports, particularly across the NFL. Got on to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin today. Really got my sports takes flowing. Shout out to those guys for taking my call. Had to pretty much say how I think Tom Brady is the greatest achieved quarterback of all time. I'm not going to call him the GOAT. And I know Chu's probably going to give me some gripe about this. I said if he made the Super Bowl, I'd have to go on to that level. I'd have to stop knocking Tom Brady. But what I saw yesterday, Chu, is what I've seen out of Tom Brady in a lot of his career, in which he didn't play all that great. They end up winning the game. And all these accolades that he has, all these unbelievable achievements that he's had, that, by the way, it's a big-time team sport, in which, in my opinion, he's not the reason why they have a lot of those wins going all the way back to at least 3-4 seasons now. When you look at the Super Bowl they won, obviously, against the Rams, when you look at this playoff run with the Bucks, when you look at a couple the ones that he had before that, obviously the Seahawks and Falcons attribute to that. I think all that stuff matters. I do believe all that stuff matters, and I do think people tend to forget that. People tend to forget that. It was tough to get this take out on live ESPN radio with two guys that I really wanted to talk to my entire life. Adding to the list, Stephen A. Smith Show, Go Look and Wingo, Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Unbelievable. Love calling into these shows. Got to get on a few more, hopefully. But the point I was trying to make on that show is this new word that I came up with is basically Brady. He is the GOAT. He is the guy who has the greatest achievements, the most unbelievable accolades we've ever seen all time. But when you look at Tom Brady, when you think of Tom Brady, do you think of him making highlight plays, unbelievable plays? He's the reason they win the game type of plays? Maybe against the Falcons, but I would still attribute that to some Falcons blunders. And then maybe going back to his early years, his 2002 Super Bowl, I mind you, his first Super Bowl, Patrick Mahomes was 6 years old, literally in kindergarten. So there are probably some instances in where he's there, obviously, making the reason to win the game. But most of these occasions in which he's on these great runs and these unbelievable accolades, 32 wins, playoff wins, attributed, how many of those are for him? and all these things that he's had go his way the entire career, I don't think are to be left out. The fact that you play in the AFC East, the fact that one time you go to the NFC South, Drew Brees is on his way out, Panthers are a complete rebuild, and Matt Ryan's probably getting traded with Julio Jones. Like, all this stuff kind of adds up to me where it's like, all right, when I watch Pat Mahomes, when I watch even Aaron Rodgers, who completely folded yesterday, I see him making more big-time plays. Aaron Rodgers loses that game yesterday because he doesn't have a perfect game. Tom Brady had 3 second-half interceptions yesterday. He's the first quarterback in the last 20 seasons to win a game with 3 second-half interceptions. He's also thrown 3 interceptions in 4 playoff games, 3 of those of which he's won. Is that great? Is that unbelievably good? What about all these other runs before even these conference championship games? That Jaguars game, all these other games that I can ring up, never mind the fact that they cheated. And now you're looking at Pat Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs looking to go and win back-to-back Super Bowls, becoming the first to do so since Tom Brady in 2004, 2003, I believe, in which they cheated. So the first since 1997, 98, in which I think it was the Denver Broncos, too. You'll have to correct me if I'm wrong. Rich is here, which is a good time to lead into this argument and discussion with Rich. Rich, I called in to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin today. Glad you made it. A lot to get into in the world of sports, obviously. We'll touch on some NBA, but we got to cover this NFL first. And I pretty much am trying to make the claim, and this whole thing that I'm trying to talk about with Tom Brady is the fact that not only yesterday's game, but multiple games in Tom Brady's career have not been won solely because of him. It is all these accolades, all these incredible achievements that makes him what? The GOAT? I think that's the only reason we call him the GOAT is because of all these achievements, all these accolades. I don't think we call him the GOAT because of his play. I don't think we call him the GOAT because of the things he does and we're like, oh man. Because dude, yesterday he's throwing a wide open receivers. Dudes are getting cooked. And in my opinion, the Packers blew another game in which they probably could have won for Aaron Rodgers, a huge legacy hit for him. So it's just another thing that 4, 3, 4, 5 years from now, you know what people aren't going to remember, bro, is how that game ended or how that game went. They're just going to remember Tom Brady with all these accolades that he's accumulated over, obviously, all these years that he's played at obviously a great level. But I'm not going to sit here and say, this man is the greatest quarterback I've ever seen play the position. I'm not, bro. He's throwing to wide open guys. He's missing guys. He had 3 interceptions in the second half. It's his 4th postseason game with 3 interceptions. He's literally the only quarterback in the last 20 seasons to win a game with 3 interceptions in the second half. In my opinion, that's not great. That's not great. It's him winning games because of defense that played phenomenal. Bucks looking like the best defense in the playoffs. Running game. All these other things. Coaches. Unbelievable stuff that it's attributed to him. AFC East. Going to the NFC South when it's at its weakest. All this stuff to me matters, bro. And that's all I'm really trying to say. I'm not saying he's not great. I'm not hating on the man to the point where I'm like, yo, fuck this guy. He's incredible, bro. 10 Super Bowls? Like, when you put into perspective what this man does, it's almost probably an anger at this point because I'm so fucking sick of seeing him there. But you have to admit that what he's doing is great. All I need to say is that it's not just him. It's not just him, bro. He's done it throughout his career with defense, coaching, running, interceptions, all this shit. And it's just getting to a point where I'm just hearing Steven or Skip Bayless, all these people talking about Tom Brady, Tom Brady, Tom Brady. Dude, it's just such bullshit, bro. Because no one remembers any of the stuff that got him to all these accolades, which in my opinion is why we call him the GOAT. What's good? Sorry.
A lot of things. It's tough because I know the side you're going to take. I would love to take the side of, like, I do think he was getting a little overhyped personally for the job he did, but that's just the nature of the beast in football. Like, the quarterback's always going to get more credit than anyone else, especially when you're, like, the number one name brand in football and the guy who's been around. So, like, yeah, it was, like, I don't know if you switched right to the Bills game or you were watching after the game, but it was incredible. Like, every person, the first question they asked them is, like, what did Tom Brady mean to the – it's, like, it's the media thing to do. They're, of course, overhyping, like – his end, like, no one thinks, oh, like, he dragged them there, like, you know, like they might have thought, like, with in past years with the Patriots. Like, he was literally just doing everything, the number one quarterback. So I think it's tough to differentiate, and we have to differentiate the two arguments. There's the way the media portrays him and the way the average fan and the common fan actually knows how it's going. So, like, no one actually thinks he's the number one quarterback in the league right now. No one thought he was better than Aaron Rodgers this year. No one thinks he's better quarterback than Patrick Mahomes. But there's a difference between the GOAT and the most talented quarterback. I think you could argue, and most people would, Aaron Rodgers is and has been the more talented quarterback. Mahomes absolutely right now is the more talented quarterback. But like you were saying, the people give him so much credit because of the accolades, and it's not the actual play. The play is what gets you those accolades.
And that's what Keyshawn Johnson said to my response, which, by the way, it was fire, but it's just...
Oh, I didn't even know that.
It's great. I had the conversation going fire. You got to listen to it. Pull it up. Second hour of Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Top hour two, 8 o'clock. It was great. I started a good conversation. Right before I got on the phone, bro, they were pretty much saying exactly what I'm trying to say. Like, J. Will, Keyshawn, all these guys. Because, bro, Skip Bayless out here saying that's the best first half Tom Brady's ever had in his playoff career.
No, listen.
That's like second half, the dude is 7 of 14 with 3 interceptions. So, Skip, is that the worst second half he's ever had in his career? When Shannon starts saying shit like that, you know what Skip's response is? He won the game. That's my whole point, bro. It's always the wins that matter. And it's my opinion, getting the wins on his back. Aaron Rodgers lost that game because he wasn't absolutely perfect yesterday. Pat Mahomes does way more to win games for his team than Tom Brady has ever done. He's under 25, bro.
Hold on, stop.
He's under 25.
We're having different arguments here. Like, of course, that's what I'm saying. No one's saying Tom Brady is better than those two guys right now. Like, are we?
I'm not either.
This weekend's game, or are we talking about the GOAT argument? Which one are we talking about?
No, I'm not either. But I'm just saying, like, in general, like, all that stuff is attributed because they end up winning that game. Like, Aaron Rodgers gets a little bit of a hit because he loses that game. And in my opinion, a lot of the stuff that happened yesterday for Green Bay, regardless of all the blunders and Aaron Rodgers folding and Matt LaFleur and Kevin King getting cooked, like, there's so many things that go into it for the Packers. We'll get into it. I'm talking strictly the Buccaneers. They win the game, and the conversation is always Brady. Always. Nothing about the phenomenal defense.
That's going to be the Lakers with LeBron. That's going to be the Cavs with LeBron. That's how it would have been if the Packers won with Aaron Rodgers. That's how it's going to be. Dude, that's how it is with the Chiefs with Mahomes. And the Chiefs have an even more talented offensive cast surrounding Mahomes than the Bucs do Brady. Like, that's just how it is. Like, Tyreek Hill had an incredible game yesterday. And, like, it's always Mahomes, Mahomes, Mahomes. And, like, of course it's going to be Brady, 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 because he's making it to his 10th Super Bowl. I want a one-word answer to this, and you can rebuttal after you want. Is Brady the GOAT to you now?
No.
You 100% said if he made it to the Super Bowl, he would be the GOAT.
Yeah, I know, but this is why I'm so fucking mad, bro, because he made it to the Super Bowl.
No, stop. I said one-word answer. Hold on, stop. My turn.
He made it to the Super Bowl on my knock for Brady, which is him literally not playing great and still winning the game off of great defense, running, all these other things. Flags, penalty, everything, bro. That's happened his entire career.
So right now you have to tell me, if Brady is still not your GOAT, who is your GOAT? Who is better than Tom Brady to you right now?
See,
you have to tell me that. No. You have to tell me, if it's not Tom Brady, who? Because I'll tell you right now, I don't know if you saw this stat, but this stat is incredible to me. Brady's four main, like, pieces of competition over the years: Big Ben, Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, Peyton Manning. Do you know how many Super Bowls they've been to together, the four people they compare him to? 9. Do you know how many Tom Brady's been to? 10. You can't even, who are you going to say? Steve Young? Like, I understand all the knocks against Brady, and you could put those knocks times 10 on anyone else, which is why Brady's the GOAT. No one's saying he's perfect. No one could ever be better. He's been absolutely 100% perfect. Of course not. But there's no one else who's been as close to as perfect, because any knock you could put on him, you could put that knock times 10 on someone else is the issue. So, like, I'm not disagreeing with your takes on Brady, but I'm disagreeing with the fact that it's like, okay, sure, those are true about Brady, but they apply times 10 to anyone else, and you can't name someone who they don't apply to. Because there are plenty of good quarterbacks who might have played better than Brady this year, but they didn't get their team enough wins and win the games when it mattered to get them to the Super Bowl. The defense has a lot to do with that, but, like, he's the last guy standing still, right, no matter what you want to say about how talented the team is. I'm just saying, you got to give me a real take on who your GOAT is before we keep saying it's not Brady, because, like, there are not many arguments for it not being Brady.
I mean, no, I just think, like, and this is, like, my take on it, bro, is, like, Not only wait, let's wait and see how he hangs it up, because I think if he loses another Super Bowl, it'll matter. I think with things, no, I think there's things that like come along the way that like, and Keyshawn's basically saying it like I say it, where, hey man, it's everyone's opinion really. Like the way I just break it down and the way I see Tom Brady to getting to all these unbelievable things are just different than you. And I respect that you and other people.
Give me your goat. I'm asking you your opinion.
I know, dude, but I'm just saying, like, maybe it's just not a thing. Like, I don't know. Maybe there's just not, like, maybe there's just not a goat in at the quarterback position. I don't know. Yeah, like, it's just ranked, fucking bullshit, dude.
NBA players and NBA teams before the season. They're hypothetical rankings. I'm saying, who is the best quarterback right now? We can't just be like, well, we'll see after he retires, because then it'll be like, well, it's Patrick Mahomes. We'll see when he retires. Then there'll be someone else, and it'll be like, well, we'll see. It's just like right now, of course it can change. It's
yeah,
not
but
like
dude,
forever.
Nah, I see,
no,
that's where I see it a little bit differently, too, is like there's only so many people that can get onto that level to even knock with him. Like there ain't going to be that many guys that come along that are like knocking with him. Like even look at Aaron Rodgers, a guy that was in the conversation. If he had beaten him and made it to a Super Bowl and wins another MVP, like, okay, maybe we can compare him as the guy that maybe is the GOAT, but he lost. So, like, he, in my opinion, is just knocked out. You cannot even give Aaron Rodgers anywhere ahead of Tom Brady. But, like, at the same time, you make valid arguments that if he had won that game, if Rodgers, the game goes differently there, maybe he can be in that conversation. It's just shit like that, bro. Where like,
I still don't think he would have been in that conversation.
So then, even if you want to get into like the whole like, all right, let's just get into the whole history of it, dude. Like, all right, then let's go back and compare some of the older guys that like Tui talked about, like Terry Bradshaw, like Montana, all these guys that could be talked about. Never mind guys that have won a couple of Super Bowls. Obviously, Tom Brady's above everyone else accolade wise. But all I'm trying to say, bro, is that's not just on him. Like, if that was in the NBA, like, bro, when he loses,
any quarterback
it's just fucking bullshit, bro. It's just bullshit because I just disagree in the sense where what Pat Mahomes did last year in the playoffs, Tom Brady's never done anything like that. And what Tom Brady,
okay, you're getting mixed up between the best and the GOAT argument, though. Like, no one's saying that, like, not no one, but I would say most people wouldn't look at Patrick Mahomes' play and be like, Tom Brady at his peak was a little better than that. It's like, no, Tom Brady might be a better, like, in the clutch, like, he's been there before, he's going to get you the Super Bowl.
So what? Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. You're calling Tom Brady the GOAT because of accolades. That's literally it.
It's combined. It's not just accolades, because it's not like Bill Russell's the GOAT in basketball because of his rings. It's taking your eyes. You're right. There's some level of personal opinion to it, and that's why I'll never say, like, for example, the LeBron-Michael Jordan debate. Like, I'm never going to say someone's 100% wrong on that, because it's like, to me, the eye test is like, I haven't watched as much Jordan, but like LeBron may be the better all-around player. Jordan has the accolades. LeBron's accolades are good too. Like, you got to pick and take different parts, and there's no exact percentage to it. I'm just saying with Brady, it's like, he's won more than anyone else while looking better than almost anyone else, minus like a Mahomes, maybe a Rodgers year. Like, there's guys who in their absolute primes have looked a little bit better than him in the exact moment than him, but they haven't gotten their teams to 10 Super Bowls, won over 5 Super Bowls. Like, that's not – it's just hard. I'm not saying you can't have a different answer. It's just saying, like, I feel like you got to give a case to why it's not Brady if you're going to say it's not Brady.
I've nonstop given you a case on why it's not Brady. Like, I don't know why I have to name somebody that it is.
No, you haven't, because you need to say who it is. You can't just be like, it's not him. You need to say who it is. It's like when people say for the All-Star games, like, oh, Bradley Beal had to be an All-Star. It's like, yeah, fine. He probably should have been. Who are you going to take out? You can't just say someone should have been. You have to take someone out. So you can't just say he's not the GOAT. You have to say who the GOAT is. You can't just be like, oh, well, it's, you know, it could be someone else. Like, no. If it's not him, who is it? Because the consensus is it's him. I feel like you're making a hot take by saying it's not him. You got to give us the who it is, not just the, like.
I mean, that's the thing, though. Like, I just don't understand why you have to have an actual guy. And it's just like, all right, like, maybe Rodgers was my guy, but he lost yesterday. Maybe Pat Mahomes could be my guy. He's 25 years old. Like, there's shit that you just have to wait. Like, I don't know, man. Like, in my opinion,
your guy, though. It doesn't have to be your guy. It's just like a take what you've seen and be like, you don't have to love him.
But
like,
that's what I'm telling you. I'm taking what I've seen of Tom Brady, and I'm telling you, he's not the GOAT. I haven't seen enough of these guys. I haven't seen fucking Kurt Warner. Like Chewy says, only four starting QBs have made the Super Bowl.
Oh my God, Zach, you
with
just
two different
Kurt
teams.
Warner after saying Tom Brady's not the GOAT. You're like, I haven't seen enough Kurt Warner.
No, I'm just saying, like, dude. I'm
done with this. Call this one. Tom Brady's not the GOAT. I need to see more Kurt Warner. Oh, no.
Nah, that's not what I'm trying to say. I'm not trying to say that. Peyton is the only one who's won it with two different teams.
On here, I want you to tell him that Kurt Warner's your GOAT and Tom Brady isn't.
Nah, he's not. It's just fucking bullshit, dude, because like I was trying to say today, like just because I don't have him as my GOAT or I'm not going to call him the GOAT, like I'm hating on him. Like I don't like him. Like, oh, name a GOAT. Like it's like, bro, I'm not saying he's not good. I'm not. But like I feel like over time the non-stop shit that's happened with Tom Brady, it's just seen every single time, bro. Like,
okay, so let me ask you this. I feel like this is a genuine question. Answer it how you want. Does a few scandals, and like, hey, they are a big deal. Say he's guilty in every one. Like he was responsible for the balls being inflated, everything. Like I'm not making an argument here. Like say he did all those things, Deflategate, whatever, the spying, everything.
Yeah.
They did all those things. Do those things equate to enough? So say like maybe two tops, like three of his rings are tainted. Do those things matter enough to like start comparing him to Aaron Rodgers, who still only has one and doesn't have near the overall success in Super Bowl? Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's so hard for me, even with agreeing with you on a lot of the things you're saying. Like, I hear you. Like, I don't think he's solely responsible. He's had great defenses. He's had great coachings. He has great offensive weapons this year. Like, I don't think he's doing like a LeBron James and just like grabbing his team and being like, we're going to the finals. Get on my back. Like, that's not what he's doing.
That's what people are saying, though. That's why I'm fucking mad, bro. That, like, watch more fucking sports talk and then come back at me and be like, all right, then maybe, like, because that's what, nonstop, that's what everyone's saying.
I watch multiple.
He elevates his team. Players played way better with Tom Brady there. I don't buy that bullshit. That he shows up and all of a sudden they're better? Like, nah, fuck that, dude.
Okay, hold on. I know you hate Tom Brady, but the thing is, like, they literally are better. They mainly replaced the quarterback on the team. Like, yeah, they brought in Gronk. They got Antonio Brown halfway through the season. But, like, they mainly replaced the quarterback, and they went from no playoffs to in the Super Bowl this year. Like, that is an improvement.
Nah, I don't want
to
fucking hear that, bro. They bought it. They literally created a fucking super team in the NFL. They bring in Leonard Fournette. They bring in Gronk. They got all these fucking guys. Bring
Gronk
in Antonio Brown.
Last year, Leonard Fournette was dropped. Antonio Brown didn't have a job last year. They were great guys, but like it wasn't like they brought in like a absolute super team.
Bro, Leonard Fournette didn't impact that game yesterday.
Leonard Fournette absolutely impacted that game. Antonio Brown wasn't – absolutely did, I said. Antonio Brown wasn't there. The game before, Gronk had, like, three targets, zero catches. Like, I'm just saying, those guys aren't, like, world changers. They make a difference. They help them, absolutely. But I'm not going to knock Tom Brady because those guys came in. And it's like – I'll put it this way. If Jameis had those weapons, would they be in the Super Bowl right now? Probably not. Probably not. There is an element that Tom Brady brings to that team that helps them out a lot.
But, dude, this is what I'm trying to say. The defense all of a sudden playing like that, they're trying to attribute to Tom Brady being on the team. Like, that's what people try and fucking say, dude.
That's ridiculous. I obviously don't agree with that.
All of a sudden, the defense is nasty because you get Tom Brady? Like, why wouldn't you play like that if you had Jameis then? Or any other quarterback?
Okay. Where our conversation,
there's only a fucking couple rookies.
I started my segment saying I don't agree with any of that. I think they gave him way too much credit. I'm just saying when it comes to the GOAT thing, like, of course, no quarterback has ever played defense for their team too. Like, he's had some good defenses. Absolutely. Yeah. That helps him out. I'm saying when it comes to the GOAT thing, I agree with you on everything you said. I think that's ridiculous for the people like the post game on SportsCenter stuff to be like, oh, like, they're giving him too much credit. I agree with that. But at the end of the day, he still got this team to the Super Bowl when they weren't in the playoffs. It's still his 10th Super Bowl appearance. He still has more Super Bowl rings than anyone else. So, like, I don't see how I can't call him the GOAT, even though I agree with the knocks on him that you've said. It's just those knocks don't compare to the knocks everyone else has on way less winning and not being as good of a quarterback minus Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers in like a few instances, but the winning isn't there for them. Like, Mahomes has a chance. He absolutely has a chance if he keeps playing like this. But for me, there's no one else that you could say is the GOAT right now, and I'd personally agree with, unless it's you really want to just say like it's Mahomes off talent and you think the rings are coming, but I think that's a losing argument until it happens.
I mean, yeah, definitely, but I do think like a 44-9 record, including playoffs to start your career, never played in a road playoff game, been nothing but a 1 or 2 seed, never lost a game by more than 8 points, lost a playoff game in regulation, gone. He's back-to-back Super Bowls now before turning 26. Let's see. He will play in 2 Super Bowls before losing a game by... Yeah, like, I think that stuff's great. Like, I think that stuff's phenomenal. Does Tom Brady have any of those statistics? Like, I'm not saying that Pat Mahomes is the GOAT, but I am saying, like, it's shit like this where we have to let it play out. Like, because there's a guy that could be considered for it. Like, if there was no guy considered for it, like, there's... You can't tell me that all guys are considered for it. It's what? Mahomes and Rodgers? Let's get into Rodgers a little bit, because the Packers lose, obviously. The final score is 31-26. 280 for Tom Brady. 3 total touchdowns, 3 interceptions. Rodgers had 346, 3 touchdowns and a pick right at the end of the half there. That was big. You know, he had a conference, post-game conference in which a lot of people are talking about. He's going to be leaving Green Bay or like on the way out or saying goodbye and all this shit. I'm just a little confused about that. I'm also confused, obviously, about Matt LaFleur and Rodgers not running it in. I've talked about him being literally second to Michael Vick in rushing touchdowns all time by quarterbacks, and he had a wide open pylon to at least get some yards to maybe go for it on fourth down, whatever it was. Just so many things that happened in that game, and I'm not saying the NFL is fixed. I'm not saying sports are fixed. I'm all against that. I've always been against that, but I've just been hearing more and more of that. I've just been hearing and seeing more of that. Obviously, social media is not a great place to be at with that, but I do think when some of this shit shakes out the way it does, I don't want to think it's true, but it's just crazy, man. It really is crazy. And it does make you think for a second. And I'm not at all saying sports are fixed, because a sports head like me never wants to see that happen, never wants to see scandals and any of that bullshit, bro. I just want to watch sports and see the games played out. And when I see calls that influence the game, when I see decisions like that that influence the game and a man's legacy, and then a man talking about it like that, I don't know. I don't know what's going on with the Packers. What's good, Rich?
Yeah, it's tough. I'd never say it's fixed. I mean, like, anyone can say what they want. We've seen the stories in the NBA over the years, the stories that have come out with like the reffing scandal and stuff like that. My take will always be like, it's the human element to it. Like, refs are humans too. Umps are humans too. Like, palms get sweaty when it gets to the final moments. You feel it's more on you to make a call, not make a call. You don't want to let something go. You don't want it to be like, oh, how did they not make that call? And like, that's my take on it. Like, anyone could make the take they want. I'll never make the take that sports are fixed unless I feel like there's a real good argument for it. I'm just looking at it in the sense of like, part of me doesn't like I'm sure you saw it too, the pictures after, like, oh, it was a clear hold when you're getting it like at the absolute peak of its worst on the image from the best angle. It's kind of like, well, I don't know if they even saw it like that. But at the same time, it is tough to argue that. So like, I don't know where I stand on like those pictures, but that does make it tough. But I'm just saying the refs, they feel like they have to make that call right there if they see something like that. But I agree. I don't think it was the right call. Like, I was kind of like, damn, but
not even that, Rich. I'm not arguing that call shouldn't have been made. That was holding. That call should have been flagged. But what I am saying is the inconsistency throughout the game on those calls could have affected the outcome of the game, and most of them went against the Packers. Now, I'm not saying that that's why it's fixed. I'm just saying that call it more consistently, and it's not even an argument. It's not even a debate. The problem is they didn't, and it just brings up all this shit, man, where... It's always happened, and it always seems to happen to Brady because maybe he's always there. But hey, I don't know. To me, it just seems like it's just fishy, man. It really is fishy, bro.
I don't think it'll ever be done. I think there's a legit argument to be made to just remove the human factor from sports. I'm sure Chu would have an argument for this if he was on here against that for baseball. And baseball, I might see against it a little more because there's so much more in. Every single call, every ball, every strike, I could see people not wanting to change it. But for NBA, NFL, where it's there's some black and white calls just really determine the game, even baseball too, so easily. It's, I think there's an argument to be made to remove the human element from it and just let it be automated, because I believe that technology exists or could absolutely be developed not that hard. But I don't think it was fixed at all. I will say, I don't know if we're going to get more into it in a little bit, but like, with all the arguments you made or we talked about for Brady, like, hey, shortcomings he had, like those three interceptions in a row, I mean, Aaron Rodgers blew the game just as much. Like, he had multiple opportunities. I didn't hear it talked about. I texted you guys last night. I didn't hear it talked about on sports shows this morning as much. I don't watch as many of them as you do, but that play, I think 2 minutes left in the third quarter, or was it? Yeah, 2 minutes left in the third quarter, where he like threw to Davante Adams right over the middle, like in the red zone, and it was like third and 10 or something like that. And it was just, or third and goal, and he just missed him. And it looked like he had a wide open lane. And like, that's just one example. I didn't hear anyone talking about he should have run that. But like, there were a few opportunities that looked like they could have had. It seems like he could have made the call to stay out there on fourth and 10 at the end of the game. Like, there were areas where he fell short.
Bro, you're talking about the play. It was 2 minutes and 8 seconds left in the game, third and goal.
Oh,
and
he could have
ran in to take the lead, or at least get some yards to have them go for it on fourth down. He did not. Aaron Rodgers is one of the most scrambling quarterbacks we've seen in the NFL. Davante Adams has a drop in this pass, which drop touchdown in this game. Also, the flag that gave Bucks points right before halftime that was not called for the Packers, the same one that was called for the Bucks at the end of the game, gave the Bucks and sealed the win. Like, that's the stuff I'm talking about, dude. I'm not arguing that the refs blew it or this or that. Like, yeah, I got a human element. I'm just talking about, like, why is that not called if that other one is called? Why is there even a debate? And then when you go and look and you talk about the mismatches and all the things that happened in the game, yeah, here's the thing. Rodgers went three and out twice after scoring back-to-back touchdowns and getting back-to-back turnovers from their defense and didn't convert. Three turnovers, the Packers get 6 points out of those. That's why they lose the game. 2-4 in red zones, opportunities. The Bucks were, I believe, 100% in the red zone. That's why you lose the game. Go look at the Bills game. They were 1-4 in the red zone against the Kansas City Chiefs. No shit, you're going to lose the game. Like, settling for field goals or being 1-4 in the red zone, not a formula of beating the Chiefs. It's exactly what we saw, man. Like, the only reason the Packers didn't win that game, in my opinion, is because not only did they not score on three takeaways, didn't convert one touchdown on those three takeaways, they not only gave up what I believe now is the worst halftime touchdown in terms of defensive coverage, worse than the Jets giving up that game-winning all-out blitz that we talked about on my podcast. Why? Because the Jets were trying to win a football game. That's a fucking playoff game to go to the Super Bowl, and you're running that defense and getting torched like that on a throw that's just like up in the air, moonball. Like, he's not. That's the shit I'm talking about, bro. That's why I'm pissed.
I think the Packers had every opportunity to win the game. I said to Lisa as I was watching, she's like, you know, a Pats fan, follows Brady over the years. I was like, oh, like, looks like Brady's probably going to get, or like, in good place to get to another Super Bowl right now. And that was like, I forget what the score was, but sometime in the second quarter. And then he came out and threw those three picks, and I was like, oh, they're going to lose this. Like, Aaron Rodgers capitalized, they're going to lose this game, like, after that third pick in a row. And the defense was terrible for the Packers. Aaron Rodgers had a few three and outs, a few missed opportunities. I mean, Matt LaFleur not sending them back out there and letting Brady close out the game. I mean, I've heard the arguments for against it, and, like, I think there's an argument to be made. Minute warning, the three timeouts, kind of, you know, Brady turned it over a few times thinking he could get the ball back, but, like, you have Aaron Rodgers. You got to put the ball in his hands there. But a lot of people are at fault for the Packers. It's why I agree with you to some extent. Like, Brady is not deserving of, like, oh, my God, what a miraculous. Like, it's not. He had three interceptions. A lot of them on tipped passes, though. Mike Evans had a few go through his hands. Brady didn't have, like, a superhero game. Like, if the Packers blew it, Brady gave him the chance to get back into it. But at the end of the day, Bucks end up winning.
Yep, high throws on those ones that are tipped, by the way. And also, in my opinion, you should have 5 interceptions, at least 4. One of them was right through some guy's hand. I'm serious, man. Watch the fucking game. Here's the thing. Pat Mahomes, the Chiefs, they win. They take out the Bills. Don't really need to cover it much. I mean, Like, the Bills had a great season. It's tough for me, tough for Bills Mafia. I think it's a good thing for Bills Mafia, though, because I'm just so sick of people. Like, it's cool them jumping on the tables and all. Like, yeah, funny, like, cool, whatever. Like, yeah, do it on some grass. I saw a dude jump off, like, literally, like, a 10-foot fucking truck and miss the table on some pavement. Like, dude, these people can now stop literally fucking jumping on pavement to be, what, funny because they're fucking dry. Like, whatever, dude. Like, Bills Mafia, good for you. Good run. All these unbelievable things. They won a division. They made it to an AFC Championship game, first time in a long time, but they fell up short because Pat Mahomes was definitely not himself, but good enough. Now you're going to give this guy two more weeks to get healthy, which first two playoff games, Travis Kelce, 21 catches, 227 yards, and three touchdowns. Tyreek Hill, 17 catches, 282 yards. With a rushing attack potentially getting Clyde Edwards a little bit healthier. Defense playing a little bit better. I mean, it was just way too much for the Bills. Like I mentioned, their red zone blunders just wasn't good enough. Josh Allen, who I love Josh Allen, but when I see him take those fucking dumbass sacks and like he's like way, I'm just thinking to myself, why? What is this guy doing? Because he's so good. Like, have you not watched some of these other guys that like when they're getting, just fucking throw it, dude. You have this rocket arm, throw it into the stands. Like, he tries to make these stupid, like, flag football type plays, which comes at biting the Bills, especially in a game like that where you're not scoring in the red zone. But I do think this is legacy setting not only for Travis Kelce as maybe the greatest tight end of all time, but the Kansas City Chiefs setting up a dynasty. Andy Reid up there as the greatest coach of all time, and Pat Mahomes obviously getting up into there, into this conversation. Back-to-back Super Bowls. Could have been to three straight Super Bowls if it wasn't for a D4 being toe offside, some bullshit. On some Brady call, by the way. He could have been to three straight Super Bowls, and he's 25 years old. This dude's younger than me and could have been to three Super Bowls, been to back-to-back, looking to win back-to-back. It is crazy. You got to give the credit to the Kansas City Chiefs that have built an unbelievable, in my opinion, dynasty that is not going anywhere. Like, when you got Mahomes and some of these guys that are young, signing guys on the defensive end, I had a hot take where if the Chiefs win this Super Bowl, Eric Bieniemy, all the talks of him getting a job. Watch Andy Reid step down, Eric Bieniemy step in. Kansas City Chiefs head coach. Even though he signed an extension, that's my hot take on it, if they win this Super Bowl. Because I don't think he's going to take the Texan job, and I don't think everything going on right now, if he didn't get a job, it'd be crazy. I don't know. I'm just throwing shit out there. But Kansas City Chiefs, you got any comment on them quick? Hopefully Boosh is here after that.
I'm with you on the Travis Kelce going for kind of goat tight ends. I think the others are a little recency bias. I mean, we already talked about the Mahomes one earlier. There will probably be a case to be made there at the end of the day. There's not a case yet, but there's a case he'll be there. It's kind of like the Luka thing in the NBA, or like when LeBron comes into the NBA so hot. Like, anyone who comes in so hot, just setting the league on fire, at the end of the day is going to have a chance to be the goat if they keep it up and get some rings over the year. So Patrick Mahomes should have a chance, but not there yet. Andy Reid, I don't think he'd have to work some magic over the next few years, and he'd have to stay coaching for him to be in the GOAT conversation. Like, I'm not going that much recency bias on two straight Super Bowl appearances, one Super Bowl right now over Bill Belichick, just when he's had his down 2 years. Like, Bill Belichick, it's been said on sport, like a lot of sports talk shows, like kind of knocking him and like, oh, they could have drafted AJ Brown, they could have drafted DK Metcalf, and like that's GMing. We're talking about coaching here. Like, Bill Belichick is still the best coach to me right now, at least, unless you're arguing someone from prior to my time watching football. Like, I don't have an anti-argument to Bill Parcells, but it's because I don't know much about Bill Parcells.
Kind of my whole thing with my GOAT. Like, I don't know enough about these guys, so give me a break. But here's what I did. I'll let you finish up, but I did want to say this, because going back to the beginning of this year, I said it right here. I'm like, bro, the biggest thing this year is this Belichick versus Brady thing. And in my opinion, now, there's one thing I'll give you, that Brady has won that. No doubt about it. He's going to get more credit at the end of the day, because I don't think Bill Belichick is going to ever get shit right in New England like it was before, where they're fucking getting and winning mad titles and getting to the Super Bowl a bunch. I don't see that happening again, ever, like for under Bill Belichick. Like, the Patriots are not going to be doing that. That's my take on it.
I said on one of our first pods on this, and I still stand by it, that there is – basically nothing Bill Belichick could do this year that would like lower my opinion of him. Like, literally them going 0-12, unless it was just him blowing everything coaching, or 0-16, unless it's him just blowing everything coaching wise, which wouldn't happen. Like, that would have to be the extreme. Like, otherwise, we know this team didn't have a lot of talent. They still went 7-9, which is like not great, but respectable, I guess, for the team they had. Like, I'm not going to knock Bill Belichick on their, I'll knock him for not having weapons in the GMing side, but the coaching him, I'm not knocking for what they did this year in the 7-9 record. Brady, it looks great to go to a Super Bowl with the new team, but I'm not going to say like, oh, this means it was Brady the whole time. He was better than Belichick. Like, it certainly gives a case for, like, it's proving he wasn't a system quarterback, absolutely. But I'm not going to say him going to the Super Bowl knocks down Belichick in any way, because we haven't seen Belichick with any weapons yet without Brady.
Yeah. I just think we'll see. We'll see how it shakes out. I think there's obviously a lot of good conversations to have in that regard, obviously, too, with how the Patriots have potentially going forward. Maybe they get a guy like Matt Stafford, who's now parted ways with the Lions. Aaron Rodgers talking about his future. Some of these guys that could be on the market, a large quarterback carousel, in my opinion, in the NFL this offseason. So who can he get his hands on? Maybe draft a guy and groom him. It'll be interesting to see, like, how long Bill's going to be around. I don't know, man. We'll see. If also, he doesn't do anything and he leaves and Tom Brady wins a Super Bowl or fucking makes a couple Super Bowls, like, I don't know, man. It's kind of like sold on that argument for me, where, like, this dude didn't really do anything unless he had Brady, like, as a head coach.
I mean, there could be an argument there to be made after the next few years. I just think it's too early to make it. And at the end of the day, even if he did have, like, say, a bad next 3 years, they never got any good weapons, and he, like, retired or something like that, like, that would hurt. It wouldn't look good to go out with four bad seasons, but you can't take the accolades away from him that he's had. And before we move on, shout out to Matt. He did predict the Super Bowl correctly. He had the Chiefs-Bucks pick, so
yeah, he's telling shout me out that. To Matt. Yeah, too bad he won't come by and shout himself out. I don't know what's good. I think he's out.
I mean, whatever. We could talk a little NBA or something. Wait for Boosh to show up.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, I don't know what's good with Boosh. But yeah, I did have some NBA for sure. We covered most of the NFL. I did see this, though, which I had to do the math on. 18% is the amount of Super Bowls Tom Brady's played in. And I'm like, what? And I'm like 55, he's been in 10. It's literally 18%. I'm like, that's ridiculous. The same amount of NFC titles as Rodgers, who's now 1-4 in title games. And 18% of Super Bowls had. That's crazy. Saw a couple of bets that were placed not only on Sportsbook for the Bills, but a couple of parlays that were knocked in. So obviously the sports gambling is a thing, and we'll see what goes on. Obviously, we'll talk more NFL at some point. Chew will be around. I'm sure he'll come back. Boosh, maybe he'll make it. Whatever. We'll talk more NFL. Let's get into some NBA. I did want to make sure you pull up the standings, because I want to go through those. But before we go into those, I wanted to touch on a couple topics. This is a big story, Rich, because we covered this on the pod, and the second I saw this, I thought of you and was like, wow, this is not a good sign. I don't know if you saw this. But Japan has privately concluded the 2021 Olympics will have to be canceled. And if that's the case, we talked about it with the NBA a little bit and them not wanting to push back mainly because of that. Like, in an essence, like, we've seen them push back anything else, but that was the main hold. If that's getting canceled, and they're talking about that already, which is not even close to where, you know, when it's being held, I do think with how things are going, man, it could be tough for maybe an NBA having a slight pause, shutdown, whatever it is, with just how things have been going. Just curious, what you think with just more postponed games, you know, trying to get some of these guys back off the COVID list, trying to play some of these games with obviously a lot of question marks surrounding contract tracing and all this stuff. Like, I saw the other night when they got their security out there, not letting them do the jersey swap and all that. And it's just like, I don't know, man. Like, they're trying. They got these protocols, but it's like, what are these protocols when, like, there's still clearly a problem? Like, there's realistically a problem everywhere. And I was talking to my guy Musty last night. It's like, dude, that's just what it is. That's literally just what it is, dude. Like, there's pretty much a problem still everywhere. and you either follow the protocols that are in place or you don't. You got people that are doing it or you're not. You're seeing not only in the NBA, but in sports in general, and it's popping up everywhere. The NBA, in my opinion, has got a slight issue.
Yeah, I mean, the canceling, or not that it's, I don't know, it sounds like it hasn't officially been canceled yet, but I was kind of pessimistic about it the entire time. Like, it's tough to have people from,
if
a lot of countries are doing better, this is bringing people from all countries together. Even if you're testing those people, the huge part of the Olympics is the money it brings into the city. If you can't have many people there, it's kind of like, is it worth it? So I was never optimistic about the Olympics happening, and them canceling them will only make it more likely that they could postpone the season. Honestly, they still won't want to, though. They still want to be back on a normal track for the NBA seasons going forward, but not having the Olympics, if that's actually what happens, just gives them a little bit more of a in to push things back and not have any repercussions outside like their actual season. So it definitely helps them to being able to, like, I think they probably just, like, if they could make it to the All-Star break, like extend the All-Star break by a week or something, but we'll see.
Yeah, true. Boosh, what's good?
What's up, guys? How you doing?
You think the NBA is going to take a slight pause? Japan made an announcement that the Olympics probably will be canceled, and that was really holding back the NBA from wanting to do so in general. A lot of postponed games, up to about 20 now, I believe. A lot of tests and contract tracing and all the BS going on in the NBA. Think it's going to have a slight pause, or are they going to keep it rolling like the NFL?
I mean, the money thing is the tough thing, you know what I mean? It's always about the bottom dollar line. If they're canceling games, it depends if they're canceling games or postponing games. I don't see them canceling games. I can see them maybe postponing some games, but that's about it. You know what I mean? They're losing too much money as it is. I can't see them canceling really a lot of games without making them up.
Yeah, I agree. I think they're just postponing them now. They're not canceling them, but the more you postpone, the more it pushes back the season, the more the season seems to be pushed back already. With how things are going, and Rich has kind of talked about it, like, I feel like the NBA wouldn't really not benefit from them shutting down for a couple weeks. It would be tough, I think, for some of the players getting back up, reconditioned, whatever, with how it's been going. It's just, I don't know. Like, that's why I was telling Rich, like, what's going to change if you shut it down for 2 weeks? Then you have to, like, recondition and get back into the prime. Like, we're already 4 weeks through the season. Like, bro, they're starting to play better basketball right now, and now you want to cut it down? And I know things are pretty bad, but, like, that's where I'm so in the middle here, bro, because I've always been sketched out about COVID, but I'm getting more to this side where I'm like, bro, how long are we going to go like this where sports fucking can't do anything? Fucking, like, it's just crazy to me, bro. Like, is that what it's going to be forever? Like, then I'm fucked, dude, because I'm by myself and fucking, like, slightly depressed. So I'm fucking beat if that's what it's going to be. It's fucking bullshit, in my opinion. And I don't know, man, because you're seeing, here's my thing, Boosh. I want to get your reaction on a little bit of the football me and Rich already talked about it. But Rich, respond on this before Boosh does. They said there's 8,500 fans in the stands yesterday at those games. Is that accurate? I'm fucking watching that. I'm like, what? 8,500? More like 22,500, bro. Like, what? That shit was packed. And
there are a lot of people.
Here's the thing. Why can't I go to a game then? Like, I like going to games. Like, only vaccinated people can go. Only people that fucking are family. It's just, the whole thing's a fucking crapshoot, dude. It's starting to genuinely piss me off. I know it's real serious, and the whole virus is serious. I've been hearing friends and other people that have been getting it. I know it's a thing. I'm not knocking that. I'm just saying, bro, you got some people that are just straight up blatantly disrespecting it, and that seems to be part of the problem. Why do I have to keep suffering? It's been a whole fucking year. You want me to go fucking 5 years, 10 years? I don't know. And I think it's starting to affect sports in that regard, too, with all everything going on. It does seem to matter for sure.
I was going to say that, you know, I think they found a second variant. That's why I think it was the University of Michigan just shut down their basketball program for a couple days too.
Yeah.
And I mean, you're seeing it in the college basketball. They're shutting down for 2 weeks, and then the quality of play just isn't there.
Yeah.
Like, they're not conditioned. They take a whole half to make a shot. You know what I mean?
For sure, dude.
Games are 55 to 58. So, I mean, it's definitely affecting everyone.
I'm glad you brought that up. I don't know if you guys saw this, but they're doing that single site NCAA tournament. You know what you have to do to get into that bubble? 7 negative tests per player. 7 negative tests per player. So now they're going to use that amount of tests. all the fucking false positive shit. You're going to have a struggle getting teams into that bubble, bro. This whole fucking thing is going to be a mess, dude. And I wanted to see a March Madness more than anything. I think it's going to be a fucking debacle. They might not even get it done. Boosh, what do you think of the football games? Me and Rich already talked about it a bunch. We can spit it up a little bit on it.
You want to start with the Pack game? Pack Bucks game?
Start with whatever you want.
I want to start with one thing. Seggy can't call Brady his GOAT because he hasn't seen enough Kurt Warner tape, he said. That's a direct quote.
This guy was packing groceries for a little bit. I don't know about that. No GOAT of mine was packing groceries.
You guys are fucked.
But I think LaFleur kind of blew it. You're down 8 points with, 2:15 left on the 7-yard line, 4th and goal. You got to go for that. You can't kick that field goal. That's the bottom line. That's the first thing I was thinking. Like, why are you even kicking this field goal? It does no help for you. You get it to within 5 points, and then even if you don't get that 4th and 8, like, you're still on the 8-yard line, and you give your defense a shot, you're still in the same situation.
Yep, I agree.
Aaron Rodgers is my quarterback. I got to go for that 4th and 8, no doubt.
Agree, dude. Also, it's like Rodgers could have ran it on the play before that and at least got some yards to make it a shorter one. It was weird for me to not see him do that. Probably would have scored a touchdown, in my opinion. The whole thing it played out was just weird, and I do think the Packers botched it. But it does then bring into my whole take on Brady, and I'm not going to get into this shit again, but I will just say it. Like, I called into Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin this morning, and my take didn't come out the way I wanted it to. I tried to clean it up a little bit on here. My whole thing with Brady, I'm not hating on him. I think he's great. But I do think we call him the GOAT purely based on accolades and achievements. Not because of his play. Not because we're like, oh man, this dude is fucking unreal. Look at this sidearm. We all see that from all these other guys. Rodgers, Mahomes. We've never seen it from Brady. We've seen defenses carry him, coaching, running games, turnovers, interceptions, defensive scores, all this shit attributing to all these accolades that he personally achieves over time, but it's a team fucking game, man. And I just need to say that I've seen more Tom Brady games in which he was saved by not only the opposing team fucking up or himself getting carried by some of his own teammates to winning the game than purely him winning the game on his own. That's my take on it. He's the greatest achieved quarterback of all time.
I was going to ask, what did you think of the pass interference call? Do you think that's a legit call?
Here's the thing, and this is good question. I said this to Rich. Absolutely the right call. Need to make that call. Definitely a hold, and no problem with that call being made. You want to know what I do have a problem with? The inconsistency throughout the game of those calls going both ways. Literally, Tampa Bay scored right at the end of the half because Aaron Rodgers threw a pick in which that same situation of holding occurred that was not called. So I'm not saying you can't throw the flag at the end. Got to be consistent. You end up changing the game, though, literally, by throwing that flag. That's the type of shit I think matters into this legacy as well. I've had multiple games that I can say and point out have been changed strictly because Brady's there, maybe because he's all there all the time or not, where the impact of the game was changed by flags, bro. And that, to me, is just not fucking cool. Like, I could be so cool with him going and putting all the stuff up he did without cheating, without that, without fucking having four games with 3 interceptions. Like, to me, that's not great, dude. And winning on a defense and winning on running and coaching is not him being GOAT. That's all I'm trying to say.
Can't argue with the accolades. I know that you want to say that it doesn't really matter to you, but the dude's a winner. That's the bottom line. I know I wasn't really impressed by all of his throws yesterday. I definitely think he threw some ducks out there. But I think he managed the game unbelievable, especially that last second touchdown at the end of the first half. That was a ballsy call, in my opinion, to go for it right there.
Yeah, great. Yeah, great call. Ballsy. But is that not the worst fucking defensive play you've ever seen called? Is that the worst fucking torch defensive fender that got torched 3 times, Kevin King, in the game? Like, all right, I'm not saying maybe he didn't get torched on that play. Fine. But why is that dude playing man one-on-one with 8 seconds left to go in the game with no timeouts? No timeouts. Bro, yeah. That does not happen. That is worse than what we saw the Jets do in that all-out blitz in which they gave up that Hail Mary to Henry Ruggs. Bro, they're trying to win a football game, the first one all year. Like, you got to give them a little credit. They're just trying to do something ballsy to win the game. You don't think they're going to complete a fucking Hail Mary in that situation? Bro, this is a playoff game. This is playoff football. You're going to allow that to happen? To me, that's on the Packers. That's not on Brady fucking having this phenomenal throw, phenomenal play. Great play call. Ballsy, for sure. But I've seen more balls out of Andy Reid. Let's get into that game a little bit. You think the Chiefs have a shot to blow out the Bucs in the Super Bowl? Because that's what I'm thinking is going to happen.
You're calling a blowout right now.
I'm thinking straight blowout.
100% yesterday. Definitely didn't think Patrick Mahomes was 100% yesterday. He was limping, not really limping, but I mean his toe was definitely bothering him.
Yep. And torched the Bills.
Home field advantage is definitely going to be a factor in Tampa. I definitely think. And they said they're going to have a crap ton of people there. I bet too. Speaking of all the COVID rules and everything, but I definitely think the Chiefs have a shot to blow them out. We'll see what Brady can do. He can manage the games really well. He always keeps the Super Bowls close. So every one of the Super Bowls have been, you know, tight to the end. So we'll see what happens. But I definitely think the Chiefs have a really good shot to blow them out.
Yeah, I agree. It'll be interesting to see. The home field advantage thing you brought up is interesting because it is the first team in NFL history that'll play a home Super Bowl game. They've done all this damage on the road. But here's the thing that gets me mad. I need to get your guys' take on this. Normally, like the Super Bowl and everything, you travel like the week before or whatever and you stay there. Like you guys know how it works. Like Super Bowl week, all the fucking shit going on, media, all that. Bro, that's not a thing because of COVID. So, they're making the Chiefs travel there the Saturday before the game. I don't know if you guys saw this. Or the Friday or Saturday before the game. So, Tampa's going to be chilling at home, waiting for Kansas City to travel the day before the game due to NFL protocols. If the Bills won, they would have been able to travel there on Saturday. Like, all this bullshit. I'm like, dude, that's messed up. Like, what the fuck? We're doing all this shit anyways. Let the team travel and quarantine at a hotel in Tampa so it's a fair playing field. To me, that's unfair advantage bullshit where if the Chiefs lose, that's why. Straight up. I'm dead ass. You got any take on that? That's bullshit.
I don't know. I think they're going to show up prepared no matter what day they show up. You know what I mean? Andy Reid's going to get those boys together. We'll see what happens. I mean, like I said, I think they're going to have a real good shot to beat the Bucs no matter when they show up. If they show up this week, next week, whenever. I think it's just going to come down to how healthy Patrick Mahomes is. Like it, because you saw the Bucs pass rush. I thought they did a really good job with Rodgers. They're going to move him around a lot. I think Andy Reid did a really good job play calling, you know, disguising everything up. They had Hardman and Tyreek Hill moving all over behind the line of scrimmage. So I think they're going to be ready to play no matter when they show up.
You can't say that they're going to blow them out and then say, but if they lose, it's because it's in Tampa Bay.
No.
If there's a 17-point difference in what you expect and what happens, then there's way more of a reason why they lost than it just being in Tampa Bay.
Hey, that's not what I said. I said it's because they got to travel there late in the the team's home at Tampa Bay. That's an advantage, in my opinion. They're chilling at home.
I agree that that's, like, unfortunate. I wouldn't be thrilled about that, but that's just where the Super Bowl is scheduled.
Yeah, I get it. No, it's all good.
Far more than that.
Yeah, it's fine. It's all good. I'm just saying, like, in general, like, that seems to be an advantage. Going back to Boosh's point, like, Mahomes will have 2 weeks to get healthy. Some of these other guys will have a chance to get healthy. Edwards-Helaire, who came back. Sammy Watkins, who didn't play. I get it. They lost a couple offensive linemen, potentially, so it could be a mixed match. There, this game will come down to protecting Pat Mahomes. Obviously, with what the Bucs defense has done this postseason, in my opinion, looking like the best defense in the playoffs. So, that's just what it is. It's going to come down to that.
What's wild about that, and I'm not disagreeing with you, is that I heard on like two different talk shows, like Skip and Shannon and one other one, before this round, so when the Saints were still in it and everyone else, them at, and the Browns, they were asking, like, who's the worst defense left? And
Bucks.
Everyone was like, the Bucks defense.
Yeah.
The Bucks is the worst one left. And now I'm not disagreeing with you that they played, like, the best one, but it's just wild that you're sitting here now and saying,
for real,
the
though.
Best one left.
I mean, Murphy Bunting, fucking three interceptions in three straight postseason games. What a fucking name, by the way. Then you got these backers that are rookies that are just flying all over the field. And then don't forget about JPP and all these guys. They got Vita Vea back up front. Dude, they're fucking nasty. Like, they got Sue. No one's even talking about it. They got guys that were Pro Bowlers and big-time guys on both sides of the ball. It's not just Brady fucking humming it and carrying them to the Super Bowl. That's all. That's all the point I'm trying to make.
The Bills definitely had a better defense. They were just playing the Chiefs, in my opinion.
For sure. And 1-for-4 in the red zone definitely doesn't help. All right, Bruce.
I thought the Bucs defense did a really good job against Rodgers and the Packers run game. I feel like Aaron Jones really didn't get anything going. All the Packers running backs couldn't really get anything going because of that defensive line. And that frees up the secondary a little bit, too.
Aaron Jones did get hurt, was knocked out like second quarter of the game, never came back. The other guys did look great. It was definitely on Rodgers for me, like folding a little bit, like trying to be in there, trying to get up in there for the legacy, and he folded a little bit. Matt LaFleur took a little bit of that opportunity away from him at the end of the game, but I do believe Rodgers should have ran that ball at least to the fucking 5-yard line, if not into the end zone, and we'd be having a different conversation today. That's just me. The MLB has been making some moves. I know Boosh needed to comment on a couple of this, and then we needed to touch on McGregor absolutely getting popped because that was hilarious, and I do need to touch on that. Boosh, what's been going on with the MLB moves? The Yanks are just fucking piling it in, huh?
Yeah, we're just bringing on our staff. We just traded for Jameson Taillon.
Yeah.
Pitchers, the Pirates pitcher. Probably their ace guy. He pitched with he was actually Garrett Cole's roommate in spring training when they were coming up. We did give up one of our big pitching prospects, Will Stafford. He's got a 3.67 ERA, average 6 innings per start, 8 strikeouts per 9. So we'll see what he can do. I'd really like to move middle of the lineup starter. If he can stay healthy, he doesn't have that many starts. Because he does coming off his second Tommy John surgery. But I really like the move. I like what we're doing with our staff. If they can stay healthy with Kluber and Taillon and Cole getting Herman and Garcia back, you know, I think we're really looking good.
That's actually crazy. And ever since you've been coming on the pod, which is now your second time, shout out to you. It's been fire. The Yankees have been fucking maxing up the moves, and I'm sure Chewy's probably a little bit pissed about this, and I'll have to see what he has to take.
The
but, like, it's just crazy, bro.
Brothers.
The Yankees, to me, bro, they got all these fucking guys. They bring back DJ LeMahieu. They're making all these moves, and they're just – no one's even talking about it, bro. They're just bringing in more and more guys. You just literally named off 3 aces, and then they got a couple more. They got all these guys. It's just – they got Judge and Giancarlo Stanton still, right? Like, they got those guys.
Carl, I didn't even mention who's the guy that got hurt last year. It's his name is not Ivan Nova. I'm gonna find it for you. But I mean, we have a couple. I mean, like I said, Tanaka might come back too.
It's just crazy.
What is this guy's name? He's our Severino. Severino, I didn't even mention.
Oh yeah.
Too. So
yeah.
Like I said, I really like the moves that we're making, bolstering the staff. That's what you need to win a World Series.
Anything else going on in the MLB that is worth mentioning? Because, like, I'm not really a big MLB guy, but I've been seeing a couple of moves. I know Chewy will be able to update me on some of it, but getting a little closer to opening day.
They're getting geared up for spring training.
When do they got that starting?
Who you like in Torrey Pines this week? That's what I definitely wanted to ask you.
Dude, that's the thing. I've been, like, following a little bit of golf, but, like, when I see that news about Tiger, when I – see the news about Justin Thomas getting dropped by his sponsor for, like, I'm just like, I don't know, man. Like, I love golf and all. I watch a lot of golf, but realistically, I watch majors. I watch tournaments because they're on in the golf shop, but I'm not like fucking, oh, man, who's going to win this week? Who's going to be there this week? There's so many guys on tour, bro. Like, to me, that's the toughest thing to bet would be golf, play golf DraftKings. Like, I've done it a couple times. Like, that's just one of the toughest ones.
I just think it's going to be a preview for the U.S. Open. You know, they're having
Oh, shit. Shit always happens to me.
10 top 18 finishes, including 3 top 6s at Torrey Pines. So I think it'll be really good to finish out this week. Maybe Ricky steps up there, too, as well.
Yeah, I think the golf's been good. There's a lot of good golfers. I got cut out a little bit there, but I'm back. You wanted to touch on your boy McGregor, bro? That was honestly crazy. I know Rich won't have much to say on the MLB. I did see the McGregor. I don't buy the fights or nothing, but I'm sure everybody, you know, saw the replays of this McGregor getting knocked out. It was his first fight in 371 days. Probably took a little bit too much time off because that was not pretty looking. I told my brother, I'm like, dude, this dude's getting knocked out. Like, I don't follow UFC. I don't watch UFC. I don't know anything about Dustin Poirier, any of these guys. I know the big fights that happen. And I like watch the replays of them and fucking comment on them, but I'm not into this shit at all. Bro, anybody getting fucking out for 371 days, coming into a fight, talking all the shit he does, bro, I knew this dude was getting knocked out, and that's exactly what happened. His first knockout of his career, he was getting beat up with the leg kicks, 48 to 29 significant strikes I saw. I mean, he just got fucking destroyed, bro. And all these guys that talk mad shit and then go into a fight and then get fucked up and then come in afterwards. And he's just like, his press conference afterwards is more funny to me than him fucking like doing, you know what I'm saying? Cause I'm just listening to this and I'm like, bro, like that's why you don't set yourself up like that. Like, I don't see that Dustin Poirier guy out here fucking talking all this shit. Like, he just went out there and fucking handled his business. And I can respect that more than a fucking guy saying mad shit and then getting fucked.
That's why I kind of like Conor McGregor. I mean, the confidence that he displays is he bet on himself. But, I mean, I think he's made just so much money that I guess his heart's really not into it anymore. Like you said, 371 days between fights is a really long time. The Poirier guy, he seemed real humble. But I even think Conor McGregor won the first round 10-9. But Poirier just kept kicking his right leg all day. Like, he was just really... I think he couldn't walk. Did you see him on crutches?
Yeah, after the
fight? And, you know, you take away that right leg. That's what Khabib did, too. Just took away that right leg and then takes away his left counter strike to finish him off. And I don't think McGregor's a good wrestler. I think he's a one-shot kill guy, and he can knock you out at any time. And I feel like he didn't really get that shot against Poirier. I think he did a really good job on that.
Yeah. Rich, any comment on McGregor literally just getting popped, knocked out for the first time in his career, all fucking up in the corner of the cages, all like
the
afterwards.
Memes have been unreal.
I don't even know where I'm at right now, honestly, was the quote. Like, I don't know if he said that because he got popped or if he's because he didn't know he was coming back to fight or what, but I'm watching this after all the shit he's talking. I was watching him on Stephen A's World. It's what I do, Stephen. It's what I do. I knock him out, Steven. Like, I'm listening to all of his shit talk, and then he goes in there and does that. I just think it is funny. Like,
yeah, I didn't watch, to be honest. I saw the highlights and stuff, so I don't have much to say, but I did not watch.
Of course you didn't.
I think he's doing it for money, you know what I mean? He's a $50 million guy. He bought all that money with Mayweather. You know, he sells fights. Dana White knows what he's doing. He's selling fights. I think he's going to fight Poirier again. I wouldn't want to go fight Nick Diaz or Nate Diaz if I was McGregor. I would go try and fight Poirier again, get himself right, and see if he can come back onto the UFC strong.
Yeah, I agree. You got time for one last one before you go?
Definitely.
Coach K, you said you wanted to touch on that. I saw this. Rich, did you see this? This Coach K interview in the interview?
Yeah, I saw it.
So I got a recording of this. I got to play this for a second. Hold on. Here's the thing, man. I think Coach K is a great coach. You don't need to be treating the people like this, the fucking young journalists like that. And here's the thing. If I had come out of one of the hardest tests of my life and someone asked me about it, I'd at least answer. I wouldn't be a fucking douche and be like, dude, man, don't ask me right now. I'm fucking out of here, bro. Like, he's being a fucking sore loser. Duke always is good. They're unranked for the first time since 2016. And all of a sudden, he's got a fucking problem with people asking him questions when he's always answering them when they're winning. It's fucking bullshit for me. Coach K, not a good fucking look, dude.
I mean, The kid literally should have just been like, well, I would have studied harder for the next test. What are you going to do?
Like, no, I agree with you, but Coach K's talking at you. He's the – my thing is, like, why – you respond to that question, but why belittle him like that? Like, it made him seem like he was inferior to him, like, asking him about his econ quiz when there's no comparison. Like, he's the highest-paid state employee in North Carolina, and he can't answer a simple question like that. It just drives me nuts. And
it's also not comparable to your hardest test. It's a fucking regular season game against
Louisville,
who has three losses. That's like literally just walking out of a test. It's just a game. Like, dude, literally reporters after every – like, the wildest thing to me is like 800 reporters have probably asked them a similar version of this question. And I know there's some instances of like Coach K being like a dick in the media, but not all the time. It's like, damn, dude, you're going to go off on like that kid who asked you like – a pretty reasonable standard post-game question. Like, that question is asked at the end of every single sporting game, but just in, like, 10 different ways. Like, he didn't even ask it in that bad of a way. It was just like, oh, all right, man, that's a weird response.
Yeah, I agree. And I've been hearing people saying, like, Jay Will, who played at Duke, and, like, all this stuff, like, oh, well, I've been up against Jay Duke and all this before, but I think Coach K is just trying to teach a lesson here. It's a virtual thing where he's in a Zoom and it might have been paused or muted. I'm like, bro, shut up. I'm like, that right there is him being a fucking poor loser, treating that kid way unfairly in that situation. That's just such bullshit.
The same thing. He's not going to say anything bad about Coach K. Coach K could like go out and get a DUI and he'd be like, well, like, you know, he's a really good guy. Like, he was probably like out and like had to drink something for someone and like had to get home to his wife who was having an accident, and like he wouldn't do like they're not gonna say something bad about Coach K.
You're not gonna say something about your dad, you know what I mean? Yeah. He's like a father to him. There's no way. Yeah. They're sucking him off.
Oh man,
Jay Bayless is the same way too.
Yeah, don't even get me started on any of those guys. I do wanted to get through some of the NBA with Rich. You heading out or you're gonna stick around, Boosh?
Yeah,
I'm gonna head out. I gotta head off soon.
All right, thanks for coming by though. That was fire. We'll catch up again soon. Let me know when you got some time.
Yeah, we'll do this again. Thanks, guys.
All right, bro. Peace.
Seg, one NBA thing for you. A little bit of, I don't know if it's breaking news, but reported that the Brooklyn Nets are in talks to acquire JaVale McGee.
Yeah, I saw that.
Via trade.
Yeah, I saw
and
that.
And they also, the second part of this, I almost called BS. But also that they, I'm trying to pull up the actual tweet here to read it right. The Nets are in active trade discussions with the Cavs to trade for JaVale McGee and have also been inquiring about getting Kevin Love as well. That to me seems impossible salary-wise unless they were trading Joe Harris and DeAndre Jordan, which, I mean, I guess is possible, but I don't expect them to get Kevin Love, but that's news.
Yeah, I saw a couple of those things about McGee. I didn't see anything about Love. I did see James Harden did not take an official shot in the first quarter of a couple games ago. It's the second time Harden had attempted zero shots in the first quarter with the Nets. He only did so twice in his entire tenure with the Rockets, including playoffs. So I guess he's taking a little bit more of the back seat. We figured one of them would. I didn't think it'd be Harden. He's turning into a little bit more of the playmaker, like get the assist guy, but like he's not getting that 30 a clip that we normally see out of Harden. It's weird because then they ask him to take that end of game shot, like big time shot, fourth quarter shot, when he's really not shooting all that much in the first half. I don't know. Just seems a little bit odd with what they got going on. Then you bring in a guy like Kevin Love, JaVale McGee, great. Like it's more shit you're going to have to mesh with. You know, I mean, getting out of a game for the first big three win the other night up against the Heat, but Bam Adebayo was the second player in Heat history with 40 points in a game, age 23 or younger, joining Dwayne Wade. He had 41. So, like, I knew I had him in DraftKings. I knew Bam was going to go off. The Heat nearly won the game. They didn't have Butler. Like, I don't know, man. Like, they're good on offense, but they're not. Like, maybe JaVale McGee will help on defense. Maybe Kevin Love and some other pieces that you've talked about, veteran pieces that they can bring in, could potentially help on defense. But when I overall look at what I've seen from them just since they've started out, which is, yeah, a week, we give them some more time. We've talked about it. It takes a lot of time to get these guys meshing together. I don't see the same, like, I don't have that same vibe of, like, LeBron's big three. I don't have that same vibe of, like, the Warriors' big three, in which I'm like, oh, yeah, this is a lock to make the finals. Like, I just don't have that. When I look around at the East, even though it's a little bit weaker than I predicted. It's still a little bit stronger than I think it's been in the years past. And I do think them just like fucking getting through and being a finals automatically because of the trade is just a little bit too much. We'll wait and see how it plays out. But
I would say the difference in this big three and the other ones is I think you can legitimately argue this is the best three basketball players to ever play on a team together, better than any other big three. Like, if you're just ranking, like, where these guys are and overall players, you could argue. Like, I feel very strongly these are the best three, like, individual basketball players in their prime to, like, play basketball together. But it's a more ill-fitting team than the Heat were or the Warriors were. Or, like, even maybe than, like, the older Celtics big three was. Like, it's not – you don't look at it and go, like, oh, like, that's a perfect fit. Like you said, like, James Harden's maybe the best scorer the league's ever seen. And, like, don't get me wrong. He's a very good playmaker and distributor, better playmaker and distributor than Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. But it's, like, are you really getting the best out of James Harden if he's playmaking and taking two shots in the half?
Yeah,
like,
I agree.
I James Harden shouldn't be taking Houston shot numbers, but taking two shots in the half is – And I don't think it's too big of a deal. Like I've said in the last few, like, it's going to be a learning curve. Like, this high usage guys, these high scoring guys, like, someone's going to have to take a huge backseat. It looks like James Harden, and this doesn't surprise me. He's been saying, like, to be fair, he said this for years, and I haven't believed him for years. Like, oh, the stats don't matter to me. But he said it in a few interviews in Brooklyn, and, like, I believe him now. Like, I don't believe that when he was on the Rockets. The stats absolutely mattered to him, but, like, he had to put up more of the stats. I believe him now. Like, he's just trying – I mean, the guy's trying to win. Like, he could eat. It's not like, oh, how James Harden isn't scoring. What's wrong with him? It's not like he's shooting terribly. Like, he could be scoring more. He's just trying to, like, find his way to fit into the offense, not be, like, a selfish guy, like, find his way to distribute. And it's a tough fit.
Yeah.
It's going to take a while.
Here's the thing, though. He has a couple of tough shooting games already. And when you're taking less shots, it comes out a little bit worse. When you're able to take as many shots as he was in Houston and put up the amount of points, it kind of got rid of some of the shooting performances that weren't so great for him. I will say I've seen a couple of bad shooting performances from him already on the Nets. Obviously, taking some things to get – I'm not being too hard on, but I'm just saying, like, this is a team that's working shit out when other teams have already worked some shit out and are on a pace to, like, getting to somewhere, been with the organization, have some continuity. So I just feel like they might be a tick behind this season. Then we'll see if they even run it back next season. But I just don't think that – they're all automatic lock out of the East. A team that I thought was going to be in the East, out of the East before the Harden trade. I do think this somehow makes it harder for them to get out of the East. It sounds wild, but I do think that's my take.
Well, I agree, because I wouldn't have picked them. Well, I didn't pick them to come out of the East, but I don't know if you would have picked them to come out of the East. And it's hard to say in hindsight, like, losing Spencer Dinwiddie for the year. Like, that was a huge loss, because if you picture this team with Spencer Dinwiddie, like, yeah, it's another ball handler and they have a lot of them, but, like, it's another, like, above-average NBA player that they now don't have on their team. So that's a big L, so, like, that hurts them not having him. I agree with you in a sense. They were a little bit better all-around team just having, like, Jared Allen. But we'll see what trades they make. I'm not going to go too far. But I don't think it's ring or bust for them this year. It's ring or bust for them as a team. Like, if they don't win a ring with, like, Kevin Durant and James Harden or all three of them together, like, that's going to be an absolute bust. But I don't think it's ring or bust this year. I would say it would be a huge disappointment not to make it to the Eastern Conference Finals, and they're definitely hoping to make it to the Finals. But, like, we went over it in the last pod. Like, the Miami Heat took a while to figure it out. The Warriors are a little different because Durant stepped into an already championship team. But, like, I don't think they're going to be, like, rolling through teams at any point this year. It's going to be a tough year. They're going to be a lot better next year when I believe they will run it back, and they'll do what those LeBron James Heat did. Heat teams did. They'll get a minimum, like Mike Miller, Shane Battier, Udonis Haslem. Like, they'll get some guys to come in on cheap deals that are make the team better, but it's going to be tough for them this year. I think like a game 7 Eastern Conference Finals matchup would, or like a finals matchup where they probably get smoked, would be like my expectations.
Yeah, I do think the way it's set up, though, it almost is championship or bust, not only this year, but next year, regardless, because how long these guys are going to be together like that? Like, a couple years, if anything? So, I think it is. Like, they brought this together clearly for one thing, to win a championship. If they don't win it this year, if they don't win it next year, to me, it's definitely a knock. I did have some couple other things to get to in the NBA, though, before you go. The Shaq comments to Donovan Mitchell. I saw a couple of responses from LeBron and KD on it. I know you had something to say about it. I'll let you go into that real quick before we get into anything else in it.
I don't know. I just think it's dumb. I don't think they should even be doing Shaq. Maybe a little less so Charles, but Shaq and Charles, like, I don't think bring that much in terms of, like, NBA analysts to the show. Like, they're just so petty. It's so obvious when you're watching someone be, like, petty and salty, even if they're, like, it's behind, like, jokes and, like, oh, I'm trying to motivate them. Like, you know, you have to be tough. Like, you have to, you know, no one ever helped me. You got to be, no, dude, shut up.
Yeah, like, what, like, he started that interview out by saying, like, hey, Donnie, it's Shaq here. I've been on the record saying, like, that you can't get it done or something. Like, what? Like, of course he's going to fucking answer it, what? Why would you start an interview
that's
like
just,
that?
That's just so dumb. The cop-out people keep having that I see on Twitter, people talking, is like, oh, that's who Shaq is. He's trying to get the best out of you. He's trying to motivate these guys. He knows how to motivate them. It's like, bro, if you're trying to motivate someone after they just had a huge game, have, like, had incredible playoff moments over the first 2 years, like, carried his team to the playoffs his rookie year, you at least start by being like, great game. You looked great out there. Not just being like, so I'm a big believer in that you're not good and can't carry a team. Like, bro, what? Very few guys in their fifth year in the NBA are carrying a team. Like, sorry, he's not LeBron James. Michael Jordan wasn't carrying a team to the finals in his fifth. Like, it's just a dumb thing to say, and it comes out of, like, Shaq does it worse with big guys. He's, like, super, like, even big guys that aren't great, just, like, whether it's the Rudy Gobert thing or, like, JaVale McGee over the years. It's just, like, he's so self-conscious on things that he I did it like this. Like, oh, these guys got nothing. It's like, dude, we get it. People make more money now. The league's bigger. Like, yeah, you're probably better than these guys and you made more money. But, like, his takes are just wild. Like, he had – say what you want. Like, Shaq was the best player, is widely viewed and was the best player in those Lakers championships, the three-peat early on. But, like, they don't win those championships without Kobe Bryant. Like, Shaq wasn't bringing the ball up the court. Shaq wasn't ISOing. He had post moves, but he wasn't just dribbling down into the post, posting out, like – it's just an ignorant take. Like, Shaq, you couldn't win a ring as the one guy on your team without a Dwayne Wade or Kobe Bryant if you take him away. You'd still be great, but, like,
very for sure. Charles clearly couldn't either, and he's always talking smack. And I'd also say, like, the whole thing with Shaq, it's like, bro, and both those guys, it's a fucking different NBA. Like we've always talked about it a little bit, like, the whole thing with the Jordan, like, being able to compare those two NBAs is tough because, like, when you look at the NBA now, I don't know if you agree with me, but, like, in my opinion, going back to that era of basketball and now, it's two totally different things, man. You're seeing two really totally different styles of basketball being played. The big men's are still important, but, like, not the same as the Shaqs and Charleses that we saw back then.
And it's the downside of, like, I think we've talked about this maybe once in the past, like, where the NBA lacks in presenting their product compared to football. Like, you hear, whether it's Tony Romo or even guys who, like, people hate, like, Booger and stuff, like, they're excited for, like, how football looks and, like, the scores being higher. Like, they might be like, oh, like, talk about how it's different and stuff, but, like, they're not like, oh, this is ridiculous, no defense being played, like, especially on broadcast. It's like, these dudes, like, Chris Webber sometimes, Reggie Miller sometimes, like, all these guys, like, it's almost like an inferiority complex where, like, they need to feel like they need to remind people how great their era was.
And yeah.
Like, dude, no one's watching this right now to be reminded of that. They're watching this product right now. Like, talk up the product right now. Don't be like, oh man, like, back in the day, you couldn't put up this many points by this defense. Like, then after a guy wins and has a great win and you're presenting the product that he just put together and he had a great performance, you're like, I don't think you're good enough. Like, dude, just, I don't care if you're trying to motivate someone, even if he was. That's just bad, like, presenting of a product. Like, they need dudes on there. Like, I've only seen Vince Carter in a short time, but, like, Vince Carter when he's on there, Richard Jefferson, like, he does the Nets game. And, like, dudes who, like, aren't afraid to, like, almost knock themselves a little bit. Like, Vince Carter will talk about, like, how he wasn't good the last few years. Richard Jefferson will talk about, like, getting dunked on and guys that, like, posterize him and stuff like that. And they hype up the game right now. Like, you need people who, like, can talk about their experiences without knocking the current game. And, like, those guys, some of, like, the old head dudes, like, lack that a lot. And that's where the NBA is falling behind in presenting their product compared to even the MLB and the NFL. Like, those analysts don't do that.
No, I agree. That was a great take. I do think they got to have something wrong with the ratings or something for them to be just throwing crazy stuff out there, because that's the only reason I think Skip Bayless still has a show.
The problem is, I feel like really casual viewers love Shaq and Charles, because they're like, and I used to too, because they're fun. They have fun with it sometimes. Like, Ernie does a great job. Like, Kenny, I don't have really complaints about Kenny or Ernie. I love Ernie. I don't have complaints about Kenny really, but it's just like, they're easy to watch and be like, oh, they're having fun and laugh. But, like, they're not they don't teach people about the game right now. They're not – like, Kenny does his little breakdowns. But, like, I just don't think Shaq and Charles add, like, any value to those shows.
Yeah, I agree. You got the standings up. I wanted to touch on those.
Yeah.
Before I saw – did you see the post that I posted? It was the NBA's most overrated – player Ben Simmons, rookie Anthony Edwards, bench player Lou Will, team Denver Nuggets. Any disagreements there? I honestly...
Wait, who is that, ESPN's or yours, or what is that?
Oh, it was just like a random post that I saw, the NBA talk. It's just like going so far, like the NBA is most overrated. It was like player Ben Simmons, rookie Anthony Edwards, bench player Lou Will, team Denver Nuggets. And then the caption was, any changes? I honestly would have none. I would have no changes to that, like, right now if I were to go with overrated right now.
Players, I'm sure there's one I'd put over Ben Simmons, but that's tough just off.
Because I was gonna have Spicy P in that one for me, because he was a guy going back to the beginning of the year where I'm like, man, he might have a fall down year, and he was not looking real good. But here's the thing, he's been turning around a little bit more. Yes. Tampa obviously not doing great, but I predicted that as well. But I still think he's turned it around a little bit. He's like Ben Simmons. We have expected him a little bit more of a jump, and it's like we just see the same old shit from him, and that's just kind of my knock on it.
Yeah, you're right.
I think the Denver Nuggets is an interesting one for overrated because they are looking better now. Jamal Murray's playing better, and Jokic has been taking the league by a storm, so I would probably have to maybe put another team in there. But I do think they're slightly overrated because they're always up. Oh, they're going to be there in the West. They're going to be there. And we saw what they do last year in the bubble. But, like, is that an anomaly or more of a trend? Like, are we going to see them more in the Western Conference Finals? Or was that more of a thing that we just saw out of nowhere because of the bubble? I'm more on the latter. And so I would have them being a little bit overrated. But we'll see if Jamal and Jokic can keep up what they're doing right now. They did lose a couple pieces that I do think matter. So they could be overrated for sure.
I got mine. Anthony Edwards, tough to disagree with. He was the number one pick.
Yeah.
I'm going to agree with it, but the only benefit of the doubt I'll give him is, like, it was just a bad system. It didn't seem like the right pick for the Timberwolves. They have D'Lo. They have Beasley. They have Rubio. It's just a weird fit. I think he could be doing better somewhere else, but I think it would be him right now in terms of rookies.
Yeah.
Two people I'd put ahead of Ben Simmons for sure. One, and it's not totally his fault, but number one, Tyler Hero. The amount of people I heard say they would not trade James Harden for Tyler Hero for a dude that's just without Jimmy Butler and everyone else just averaging like – I'm trying to pull the numbers up and they're taking a minute to load right now. I want to say like 18 points or something like that per game. He's averaging just under 18 points a game right now, like on okay shooting and not doing a whole lot else. Like, he's going to be a good player. I'm not saying he's a bad player, but like how hyped up he was getting from that playoff run was just ridiculous and not sustainable.
It was that mean mug, bro.
What?
It was that mean mug. It really took him to the top.
Yeah, seriously. And number two for me would be Jamal Murray. And, like, part of it's off that playoff run and what he's been doing this year. But, like, I think I have a better team with Ben Simmons on my team than Jamal Murray to start this year. Because I know Ben Simmons is, even though his scoring has been really bad and he hasn't been taking a leap forward, he's playing all NBA level defense and he can play make well. And when Jamal Murray's not scoring, and Jokic is the best playmaker and Jamal Murray's not a great defender, like, I don't know how much you're doing out there. Like, true. I'm not saying he's a bad player either, but, like, I would put Jamal Murray probably first for me on that right now.
True.
Which makes it tough not to put the Nuggets number one. I mean, Porter Jr. hasn't been there. I expected them to take a little drop without Jeremy Grant there any longer. I'll tell you, I would put the Heat number one, but I'll give them the benefit of the doubt because of all the all the COVID stuff, the injuries, Jimmy Butler like barely having played this year. I would put them number one because I expected them to be a little overrated coming into this year, and they're now 13th in the West. But again, I'll give them that benefit of the doubt. So
13th in the East, yeah. Did want to get through the standings a little bit.
Probably the most overrated overall, just from what we thought at the start of the year till now, though, would be the Wizards. And yeah, they lost Russell Westbrook, but even while they had him, it was looking pretty bad. And they got him back last night, actually. I didn't see what he put up, but it's got to be the Wizards for me that was the most overrated going into the season. And that was me, too. I thought they were going to be better.
Yeah, I agree. That was tough. Yeah, I wanted to just check out the standings on the way out with you. Joel Embiid's last three games, 37.7 points per game, 11.7 rebounds per game, 61 field goal percent, 44 from three, 81 from the free throw line. You see Clint Capella, he had a triple-double with blocks, 13, 19, and 10, which, by the way, we had a triple double segment on here. I need to bring this back up. The Hawks have been cooking a little bit, but that right there is sick. Triple double with blocks, that is unreal. That is such a sick stat line. The triple double is still a thing, in my opinion. It is cool. Trae Young went back-to-back, 38, 10 assists, 43, 8 of 12 from 3 in the next game, Friday night, this past Friday. 31 minutes he did that in. Where are they at in the standings?
The Atlanta Hawks, let me get the East back here, are 7th, or tied for 6th with the Cavs, 8-8 record. Knicks
wow.
Behind them at 8-10.
Knicks, baby, right in there.
They're there. The last thing I want to say before we go any further or get out of here or anything, I'm totally changing my answer from the Wizards to the Pelicans for the most disappointing. I just went to the West and was looking at it. Pelicans, Lonzo Ball is, I mean, to be fair, bringing Bledsoe there was bound to hurt him. Zion hasn't looked much different than last year. Steven Adams has looked okay, but, like, I questioned that bringing him in the whole time.
Stan Van Gundy, not a good hire there, man.
I don't know. I like Stan Van Gundy. I'm hesitant to blame him. It has not been good so far. I think the number one thing is you have two point guards who are both terrible shooters and have very similar games than Lonzo and Bledsoe. There's no need to have both of them. Like, I get that you just had to take all the picks for Holiday and Bledsoe was there to make the salaries match, but, like, get rid of one or Bledsoe or Lonzo, in my opinion. And I thought the Steven Adams signing was super questionable. I just didn't get that. Like, you're clogging the paint up for Zion. Like, it's not Steven Adams' fault. Steven Adams is playing well and doing exactly what he should be doing. He just doesn't make sense on this team to me.
Yeah. That's a good point for sure. They're definitely underperforming in the West. The Wizards, for sure, in the East. Definitely a little bit overrated, I would say, with what we kind of had going into the season on both of those teams.
They're 5-10.
I saw them low for sure. But, like, when I'm looking at the standings, for sure, it is kind of wild, like, seeing the standings, like, just checking them out, seeing where some of the teams are, some of the teams are not. It's like, damn, bro, like, some of the teams I did not expect are here, some of the teams that I expected to be somewhere are not there. It's pretty interesting.
It's only 15 games in, but if you told me, depending on the team, 15 to 20 games into the season, the Pelicans would be behind the Rockets that no longer have James Harden and haven't had John Wall playing, the Thunder who are in full tank mode, and the Kings who have had the worst defense, or they're on pace to have the worst defense ever in NBA history throughout these first 15 games, and all three of them are ahead of the Pelicans. And they're only one game ahead of the Timberwolves who haven't had Karl Anthony Towns and have had Anthony Edwards playing awful. Like, that is really bad on the Pelican side of things.
Yeah,
like, I don't know
sure.
what their strength of schedule has been. I don't know off the top of my head if they've played, like, better teams than other guys, but that is bad.
Yeah, it's to me, that's not going to matter because they're doing the schedule a certain type of ways anyways, where it's pretty much even all the way, all fronts,
true,
in my opinion.
True.
Yeah, I did see the Clippers up there, like, real high. They're 1 or 2, right? Like, they won 6 straight games, I think. Kawhi balling out, PG unreal from the three-point line. So if they keep playing like that, that'll be interesting to see if they, you know, are playing that type of style come playoff time, something we expected to see last year, and it kind of just all fell apart. There's some interesting things for sure. I saw, like, Chris Paul had, like, 15 assists or something in the first half. So, like, the Suns are up there as well, something I expected. Devin Booker out maybe for a little bit. But I do think the Suns are going to be making the playoffs. I do think the Hawks are going to be making the playoffs. A couple of misses on the Wizards and whatnot in the East for sure. With the Pacers, I thought weren't going to be good. So I got a couple of wrongs and rights for sure. But the way the NBA has been shaken out has been decent for me. Like, even with all the COVID postponements, like, just being able to watch the games. And just to confirm, like, dude, I've been checking nonstop. There's no ESPN NBA League app on the PS5. It's just not a thing. And I'm kind of bummed out about it because, like, you told me about it on the PS4. It was kind of dope. I could watch games there because, like, I had tons of spots. It's just not a thing. They might have just were like, fuck this, they're copping it, they're I don't even know. I don't know why they would do that. I've checked it up so many times, bro. I searched on the internet, it says that it's like, I don't know, bro. It's not a thing. It's kind of a bummer, but the PS5 in general is pretty dope. You need to get one.
That's dope. Yeah, I got Boosh on the case, said he'll track one down. Told him I wasn't in a huge rush, but he said he's doing it anyway so that he could play park with us. So I'll pay him once he gets it. I was like, all right, that's fine.
Well, it basically turned out that way for me because, like, I told Boosh, I'm like, bro, I'm pretty sure I never, like, asked you to, like, get me a PS5. And he's like, yeah, I just wanted to, like, get – you said you weren't getting one. And I was like, all right, word, dude, thanks for getting this for me. Like, you really didn't have to do that. So Yeah,
he
definitely.
Was texting me. He's like, I'm trying to get you guys PS5s. So I'm like, bro, I am not looking for it that hard. But
I am.
I'll take it if you get it.
Yeah, fuck that, dude. Yeah, it's sweet, bro. It is real sweet. And some of the shit that I'm like, oh, like I'm like getting into the game and I'm like, oh, damn, this is gonna suck. Like restarting like my guy in NBA, right? Bro, the rep.
Make a guy that could shoot.
The rep carries over.
That's cool.
The entire loadout of like what your guy looked like in terms of like my tattoos, my costumes,
oh, wow.
Everything carries over in that regard.
That's pretty cool.
All your VC. So it is a lot. Some of the shit that I've been finding out and just the whole like general like usage of the PS5, like the whole PS4 with the party bullshit and like the getting around in a PS4.
Yeah.
It was like we could do it, but it was kind of annoying. Bro, the PS5 is just like, it's got like a mute button on your controller, bro. It's fucking. It's for real. You need to get one for sure. I'm on the case for sure too.
Alright. I'll be pumped for that.
Yeah, I'll be fire. I've been grinding my guy right now. But if you guys are on, definitely send me an invite. I honestly don't know how to work the invite shit. I've been trying to like chat with people and it's just not a thing, so.
Yeah, I'll hop on a little bit later this afternoon, hit you with an invite.
Alright, good chatting with you, bro.
Yes, sir. I'll talk to you later.
All right. Peace. Good.
Peace,
yeah,
bro.
Man. Peace. Richie. That was pretty good today. No one's going to budge me off my Brady take. That's for sure. Did see that there was breaking news over the weekend that Matt Stafford and the Lions will be parting ways. Former number one overall pick back in 2009. Between him, Calvin Johnson, and Barry Sanders, they played in a combined 11 playoff games with the Lions. That's absolutely wasted talent and atrocious. Matt Stafford's rookie season in 2009, Lions receivers led the NFL with 350 drops. Stafford had 7 consecutive seasons throwing at least 4,000 passing yards from 2011 to 2017. That is the 5th longest streak in the NFL. He's been dealing with, obviously, a lot of blunders out there in Detroit. New start for Matt Stafford, hoping it's not the Patriots, but this quarterback carousel this offseason will be extremely interesting. Definitely some stuff to follow there. Rodgers, 13-3. Josh Allen, 13-3. Both teams, 31.3 or above in points per game. Both guys around 70% completion percentage. Both guys above 45 passing and rushing touchdowns on the season. 51 for Rodgers. Passer rating a 121.5. Passer rating a 107.2 for Allen. Both of them go down yesterday. Chiefs, Bucks, Super Bowl 55. And for the next 2 weeks, all you're going to hear about is Tom Brady, legacy, Mahomes, Brady. All the Brady guys will be out. The Brady bunch. I'm here. Come on by. We can hash it out anytime you want. It's just undeniable for me. Even after seeing this run, which was great. It was a great run for him. But you got Taylor Heineke and fourth string quarterback. In which everyone's thinking he's the next coming of John Elway. He might not even play another NFL game. You got Drew Brees halfway out the door, 4 turnovers in a Saints game. And then you go up against Aaron Rodgers, and the way that kind of played out, 3 interceptions in the second half, you still win the game. To me, that's out of Packers, bro. And Bucks defense playing absolutely phenomenal. And the legacy continues. 10th Super Bowl for Tom Brady, age of 43. He's still out here doing it. His first Super Bowl victory, Pat Mahomes, was 6 years old, kindergarten. And these two are about to face off in the Super Bowl. I mean, when you put stuff like this in a perspective with everything going on in this country, the world, obviously COVID, sports, everything, it's literally wild, crazy. Sports are unreal, and it's always good to chop it up with some guys, talk about it. Hopefully we get a couple more people on this week, a couple more newcomers. I'm keeping my fingers crossed on that. And I'll still be covering the sports. Till then, that's all I had for the airwaves today. Appreciate all listening, as always. And as always, I still have no shame what I had to say. Just a man with a nickname. Till next time, everybody, peace and love. Stay safe out there. You listen to Seggy Station.